My guest today is Tatiana O'Hara. Tatiana is a team and leadership development consultant, and she helps successful yet overwhelmed online business owners. Does that feel familiar? She helps them create the structure needed for their team and for their daily operations so that they can focus on scaling sustainably. Now, one of the really fun things about this conversation with Tatiana is it actually started because I was browsing Threads, the newest social media platform, and I saw that she had essentially raised her hand and said, I'm looking to do X. And her X was she was looking to book herself as a guest on a bunch of podcasts by a certain date. And she was coming up against that deadline and didn't have all of her podcast bookings. Well, I'm a naturally curious person. I love connecting with people on social media and learning about who they are and what they do. So I immediately headed over to her profile and her website. And I said, oh my gosh, I have to get Tatiana to share her story. And thankfully, we were able to get it scheduled. And I knew the conversation was going to be good. It exceeded my expectations, which is one of the most fun parts about hosting this podcast, but also bringing you the conversations, because Tatiana and I, of course, talked about her experience as a corporate leader turned business coach. We talked about how she helps leaders optimize and build their teams, how she helps leaders become even better leaders and save money, by the way, doing this. That's incredible. And we talk a lot about that. But Tatiana's own experience as an entrepreneur just blew my mind, the number of jobs she has had, the number of pivots she has made, and kind of the North Star mentality that has helped her through all of that as her own seasons of life and business have changed. By the way, they continue to change. We talk about what's next for her in 2024. All of that made for such a rich conversation. And my favorite thing is when a guest will say, nobody has ever asked me that before. And we had a few of those moments on today's conversation. So I'm so delighted to bring you my conversation with Tatiana O'Hara. Welcome to Hard Costs, the podcast. I'm your host, Katie Widrick, fractional CMO and funnel fixer. And guess what? I'm good in a crisis, and I know how to see through the chaos to find clarity. That's something I've learned from working behind the scenes as a strategic partner for visionary CEOs. I'm on a mission to bring founders to the forefront and to tell the truth about the hard costs of doing business. You know, we all see wins shared on social media highlight reels every day, but what we don't often get a glimpse into are the tough times, the lost revenue, hiring and firing, moments that required major pivots, and so much more. On Hard Costs, we're bringing forward the stories that will help you understand that the roller coaster ride you're on is all part of the gig. And just like a roller coaster, the founder journey can be pretty thrilling. Take a listen while I share my own experiences, case studies from companies I've worked with, and am joined by some of my favorite founders to help you navigate this storm the right way. Now let's rise together. Welcome to Hard Costs.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here for so many reasons. I shared with you when we were just chatting before we started recording, it's like even just a cursory glance at your website and your social media posts, I was like, oh, I need to hang out with this woman. And I think the most exciting part of that for me is we found each other on Threads, right? Can you talk about maybe even just like the origin of this podcast, but also like what for you feels really exciting about sharing your story and connecting with podcasters and creators in 2024?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you have your own audience, your own community that you build, you know, on your different platforms and your email lists and all of that. And I have a really good connection and relationship with the people that follow me most intimately. But I just feel like there's nothing like getting to talk to audiences that you otherwise would have never come across or never would have gotten to connect with. So just being able to share value with a different community, but then also the relationships that come after that, like the people who will listen to this episode and reach out and let me know those little things that resonated with them. Like, it just makes it all worth it. And then of course, getting to meet you and, forming that new relationship as well. I think it's just so beneficial, you know, to both parties. And I think more business owners should really prioritize just connecting with new people and like breaking outside of, you know, their bubble.
Yeah. And you know what I love too, because I will get into all of the leadership work that you do and really helping business owners elevate themselves, elevate their teams, save money, grow, like all of those things. Mm-hmm. But One thing that really stood out to me is I have to remind myself often that you don't get what you don't ask for. And like mm-hmm. you raising your hand and saying like, hey, this is what I'd like to do. I'm working on expanding my circle. I'm looking to have meaningful conversations with other people. Does it ever feel scary to you to like tell the universe in a woo sense and then like tell people on Threads and social media and your email list in a very tactical sense? Does it feel scary ever to put those goals out there?
You know what? No, honestly, like putting the goal itself out there. So the post itself was me basically saying that I had a goal to get on 10 podcasts by the end of my, you know, time frame that I had set the goal for. And I was still 7 away. And so I posted it and, you know, I had so many people respond saying, I'd love to have you. I'd love to have you. I'd love to have you. So I think really the nerves more so set in like right before we jump on to record, because it's like, okay, this is a new person. I don't know them. They don't know me. You know, we're going to be getting to know each other, just hoping that there's that synergy there. But putting the goal out there itself has never really been a big fear of mine, but it's like actually executing on the work. That's when it's like, wait, I actually have to do this now.
I totally agree. In fact, I speak a lot and I love this, like point a camera at me, point me toward mm-hmm. the stage. And I really get energized, not by like the ego side of it, although sure, of course there's always a part of that, but like in teaching and coaching and the energy that you feel. And I will be great, great, great. And then I go to take literally the first step onto the stage and like yep. every imposter syndrome, like mm-hmm. it all hits me at once. And I wonder if we maybe expand this even to the work that you do in the leadership area, how do you empower people who are ready to set a big goal, to take action, or are maybe like you? Like, I think a lot of times we expect people to read our minds about what we mm-hmm. want and what our expectations are. How, like, what are some of the most important and empowering things that you do when you're coaching somebody to step into their leadership role?
Well, first of all, it's a great question. And when I'm working with people, we always start at the very, very beginning. So we start with really forming the vision that they have for their life and their business in this particular season of life. I think at this point, you know, identifying your vision is not a new concept, right? We've all done that exercise. But a lot of the clients that I'm working with, they're coming to me because they're planning for maternity leave and they need their team to run the business while they're gone, or they recently pivoted and they need a team around this new venture, or they recently took off. I would say that's the most popular is the clients who have had an influx in sales and now they're trying to fix their infrastructure to be able to support all of these new clients. And so that is typically like a really important time to be clear on what it is that you want. And so then it's like when I'm, you know, encouraging them and empowering them to do the hard things, right? To lean into having tough conversations with a team member, to lean into hiring the type of team member you've never hired before, or to lean into, you know, redefining processes within the business. The things that we kind of avoid because they're not the sexiest things, right? But when I'm doing that, now I have like their core why to kind of go back to and the end goal in mind versus just kind of, you know, loose or empty motivation of, hey, you can do this, like keep pushing. It's more so like, hey, I know this is hard now, but this is going to position you to be able to take 8 to 12 weeks off to be with your baby. Like, think about that. Like, make sure that you're looking at the end goal, if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense. And I do a lot of similar work with teams, and really, like, I work primarily with what I would just call visionary CEOs, and they're the big mm-hmm. dreamers. And I find that I can literally see their physical relief sometimes when I'm like, no, like, we can talk about, if that's what you want, there is a path to getting there, and you don't have to be the one to figure out the details on your own. Yeah. And so I'm wondering if in your work, in my experience, two things will come up, right? Number one, is this type of investment of money and time and energy, is it going to slow me down, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times CEOs in particular, and in my experience, it's usually the CEO saying, yes, like, come in and help me frame this out, hire, lead, all of this. Number one, is it going to slow me down, right? They have this sense that like the bigger the team, the more complexity, the more people to yeah. say no. And is it going to cost me so much that it's going to make my offer or my business not profitable? And I think your answer is like, hey, No, we can do both. I know you have done like amazing work in actually showing teams how they can save money and reduce costs. But if a CEO were to say to you, those are my objections, what are some of the things that you would say to help them see the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of times when we look at things like growing their team or something that's going to cost them more money or is going to take a lot of time up front, right? Like the training part is where I definitely kind of start to lose some people. They're like, oh, I have to train this person. They're not going to be 100% the day I hire them. So I think a lot of times it kind of goes back to me helping them see that this is the full picture of where we want to be, but we don't have to be there today, tomorrow, next week. Like we can take our time getting there. And so, yeah, maybe we look and we identify like these are the three core roles that we need to hire in order to achieve X, Y, and Z. But like we can phase that out, right? Maybe it looks like hiring one person this quarter and getting them up to speed. And then in 6 months, we look at hiring that second person and just making it a little bit more digestible. Mm-hmm. And so typically I find that if I can get them to just make it a little bit more granular and focus on the next win, usually the fruit of their labor in that particular case is going to carry them through the rest of it. You know, like they're going to see that it works. Like I always tell people, if you've never had a team before, once you hire the first person, and if they're the right person, the right fit for the role and the right role, once you start to get some of your time back, you're going to be addicted. You're going to see like, whoa, like this is what having the right people in the right seat can look like for me. And then like a lot of that doubt or like worry tends to, you know, kind of go by the wayside. And then of course, always just keeping, you know, finances in mind. I think not biting off more than you can chew financially for a team is really important to not end up in that place where you're just like dreading it and you're nickel and diming everyone. But to make sure you're staying within a certain threshold or margin so that you can see the ROI before you step into hiring that next person.
Oh, I love that. There was another CEO who I work with and she was a guest on Hard Costs, and she talks a lot about, she always wants to feel expansive on payday. Like she wants to be so excited to pay her team, yeah, and pay for their services. And that, like that to me is always a North Star. Like how mm-hmm. can we make it so that you're not looking at it as like a line item expense, but you're actually seeing it as a valuable investment. Yeah. And I like the way you framed that was so chef's kiss perfect. Okay. So we have talked a lot about who you serve and how you serve. And I here's what I know. In order for you to do your job well, there's a huge amount of trust that comes. Like you're stepping in as their, yeah, partner and you're caring about their business as much as they do. But mm-hmm. I can't imagine that like young Tatiana was like, I'm going to grow up to be the most amazing like leadership coach. I'm going to help. Like, talk to me about what fifth grade looked like. What were your goals? What was your life mm-hmm. like?
Wow, fifth grade. No one's asked me that before. Okay, so I have always been an entrepreneur. My dad is an entrepreneur. A couple other people in my family are. And so I was bit by that bug really early. My earliest memory of entrepreneurship, I guess you could say, I was in second grade. So what's that, like 6, 7 years old?
Yeah, I have an eight-year-old who's in second grade right now. So okay, I'm in the eight. Thick of it. And by the way, she is like full on entrepreneur. She's like, yep, her Taylor Swift. Like that is her business plan, is to be a performer who's a billionaire and has a team. So yes, I'm in the second grade mindset with you right now.
I love that so much. Oh my gosh. Well, I started a business, so to speak, in that time frame. And I used to make these like paper fans. I would fold up paper and like kind of crinkle.
Oh, I know. And then you put like the pipe cleaner or something at the bottom. Yep. You, oh my gosh. Okay. Yep. I'm taken back to second grade myself. Okay. Tell me, yep, more.
So I used to sell them for 50 cents, just plain. And then if you wanted me to design them, I would for 75 cents. And
you had an upsell in your second grade fan creation business. Okay, I'm obsessed with this.
I had an upsell. Oh my gosh. So that was that. And then in fifth grade, actually, I started doing the bake sale thing, you know, side of the yard was selling lemonade and cookies and stuff. And then I really started to get into baking. So my mom really like, you know, fostered that in me. And then in early high school, it had to be freshman year, I took a couple cake decorating classes at Michael's, like the craft store. Then I started a cake decorating business. So all through high school, I sold cupcakes. I used to make $300 a week selling cupcakes, which is crazy. I would make birthday cakes, made a couple baby shower cakes. And yeah, I did that all through high school. Thought I was going to go, you know, on to be a pastry chef. I did study hospitality management in college. And while I was in school, I actually took a different turn and went the healthy route. So when I got my refund, like my student loan refund, it's kind of fuzzy in my mind. I think it was, I went to school in Georgia and we had this thing called the Hope Scholarship. And I think I would get a refund after everything was said and done. So I got a $2,000 refund and I was like, I'm going to buy a vending machine and I'm going to start a healthy vending machine company. So I found a like dual temperature. It's like cold at the bottom, room temp at the, or cold at the top, room temperature at the bottom, something like that, where I could sell drinks and then snacks. And I found it on Craigslist and the guy was looking to trade it for a dune buggy. And I was like, well, sir, I don't have a dune buggy, but I have $2,000. So can I buy this vending machine from you? So he sells it to me. And I got the vending machine put at a gym near my apartment. And I ran that for about a year. That was a hard business. I didn't make a lot of money doing that. That was a hard business. And then I sold that. I went on to become a district manager for Aldi, a grocery store. So I interned with them in college. And then they offered me a full-time position as a DM. So I did that for about 4.5 years and just learned a lot about people. I've always been into operations. Like every job I've had, I've been kind of thinking in that way. But yeah, so I was a district manager. I was a really high performer, managed 5 really high sales volume stores in the metro Atlanta area, along with all their team members. So about 70 people total, did a bunch of remodels, trained a bunch of district managers, trained a bunch of interns. And while I was amazing at it, I just knew that like I could do more. And let me know if I'm making this too long.
Anyone who is listening and not watching, like my jaw hurts from trying to hold it up because every time I'm like, how many lives has this woman led?
I know. I'm
fascinated. Continue on. I have to know what happened after this.
Okay. So, So I would say like early 2019, I knew that I wanted to quit my job, but I didn't know what I wanted to do just yet. I knew I wanted to be in coaching, but I knew that would take time to build. And in full transparency, I had a very generous 6-figure salary at Aldi. And so I knew that I couldn't just quit and, like not make any money in entrepreneurship. Because at that point, I had a mortgage.
You become very accustomed to what a 6-figure salary life is like. I know that. I'm also a corporate dropout. And it's like the dream feels really exciting. And then the reality of like, oh, yes, I have to pay my bills. And by the way, the Sephora sale is coming up. Like all of the needs and the wants come together. Mm-hmm. So totally get it.
And, you know, my first home purchase was definitely like outside of my means if I wasn't at that job. At the job, it was very affordable. But like for me to quit, I needed to be able to replace it. So I was like, okay, cool. I want to flip houses. Didn't have the money to get into that. So I was like, well, what's a smaller way to do that? So I convinced my dad to start an auto brokerage with me where we would flip cars. I did that with him for 2 years. He still runs the business to this day. It's called First Generation Motors. It's a family business. If you're in the Atlanta area and you need a car, hit up my dad. But I did that. That helped me to quit my job. But I always knew that wasn't my forever. And my dad knew that too. And so, yeah, then I got into coaching. And it took me a while to figure out where my feet would land as far as the team thing. But I knew that I wanted to take what I was good at Aldi, which was creating leadership or creating leaders, but then also like refining operations. And then I kind of just realized that there was a big gap in the business world where we knew how to sell, we knew how to market, but we did not know how to lead people. And so a lot of business owners were getting to this point and working themselves into the ground because they couldn't figure it out, or they were hiring people and had really high turnover. And so it just kind of like fit in like a puzzle piece. And so that's like my extremely long and chaotic story.
In a non-offensive way, are you 200 years old? Like I was like, I thought I had pivoted. I thought I had experienced a lot of life. And I was like, Wow, I feel so lazy now. But you know what I love about what you're saying is like, and I would love to maybe even like bring this back to the work that you do with CEOs too, is like there is a level of risk involved where it feels to me like what you did was like a kind of like risk that there was some safety around it. Do you find that there are people that you connect with or that you like leaders where you see so much potential, but they're either too risk averse or maybe they're too big a risk taker? Like what in your experience is kind of the healthy balance between being a dreamer and a risk taker and still being really wise, like you said, about like, hey, I need to pay my mortgage. Hey, I have certain things that I need to do for myself. Where's that balance?
Yeah, well, personally, I feel like I've been on both sides of the spectrum. And so I'm able to really support my clients in that a lot. I think I tend to still lean on like, I'll take a risk anytime. But I'm a little bit more conservative now, especially since we had our son. But with my clients, I think the way that we minimize risk is literally just through strategy. And so a lot of times when people are coming to work with me, they are, I guess when they come to work with me, they have been in a place where they're just living for the next day, right? They're hiring right now because this hurts. Like, oh, I'm struggling with admin, I'm hiring a VA. Oh, my marketing is falling behind, I'm hiring a marketing person. And so what I'm doing is helping them take a huge step back, see the business from a bird's eye view and say, here's where we are. Here's the vision. Here's where we want to get to. Now we need to create the roadmap. So like one of the most tangible things that I do with my clients is help them to create their first org chart. A lot of times, like they don't have that or they have it, but it's really just a picture of what they already have, right? Versus I'm helping them to create an org chart from a planning perspective, right? And so here are all the roles that we'll need. We're going to deploy this, you know, Q3 of 2024. We're going to look into this role in Q1 of 2025. And so I think a lot of the fear around risk, whether you're risk averse or you take too much risk, is really minimized because for the first time we have a big picture strategy that's helping us actually get somewhere. And it's very proactive versus what we've been doing for the last several years in business is reactive. We're hiring when it hurts. We're hiring when we're 6, 7, 8 months past needing that person. And now we're able to kind of predict what we're going to need as the business evolves. And then of course, when that vision changes, because it will, right? You're going to, a life event is going to happen, or you're going to decide to open a new business, whatever. We still have a strategy that we can reroute, you know, versus just flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah. I knew we were going to be in alignment on this. And because one of the things that I find happens frequently, especially if I've come in like after the fact, oh, I just hired somebody and it didn't get better. Now I'm paying more. Like I'm still doing all the things, is that I find, to your point, when you're hiring when it hurts or when you're hiring late, the best outcome that you can expect is they're going to do it as well as you did, right? So now like you've added on these layers of complexity, you're paying somebody. And if you haven't stepped back, which I love, like you're facilitating their permission structure to step back and say like, this hurts now, but I don't need a Band-Aid. I actually need to figure out like, why is it hurting in the first place?
Right.
Like that, then you really can open up your mind as a leader, as a CEO, and say, actually, what I need to do is find somebody who knows this better than me or who can come in and understands that we need those quick wins, but is already going to like do it beyond what my capacity or my skills are. And I find that like the best leaders are not threatened by that. They're really excited to be surrounded by people who are sometimes smarter or more experienced than them in one area. Has that come up for you with CEOs who maybe are a little bit more hesitant to hire people with more experience or with more skills than they have?
You know what? Yes, but I want to say almost in a more unexpected way. So I think my clients come to me and they're ready to have someone smarter than them. They're ready to have someone who has more experience than them and more knowledge than them. But I find the struggle is embracing when that actually starts to happen. When we have the team member who pushes back on something we've always done just because that's the way it's always been done and they want to improve a process, or when someone comes up with an idea and they start to execute it and maybe it makes us feel threatened or intimidated. So I think on the front end, it's very like, oh man, I would love to have someone better than me, not better than me, but you know what I mean. Yeah. But then it's like, once they come in, ooh, how do I actually foster that? How do I actually embrace that and kind of put my pride aside? And so, yeah, I mean, that definitely comes up. And I think working through that takes time, because a lot of business owners may tend to self-sabotage their way out of really great people because we don't know how to foster that. And, you know, we could make a whole separate episode about this, but I think that's why it's so important that CEOs continue to do that inner work, right? Whether it's through therapy or journaling or something, because the more that you grow in your business, not just revenue, but the more that you, you know, work with higher caliber clients, you bring on more team members, it's going to pull more of that, you know, whatever's inside, it's going to pull more of that out. And so it starts to show up in those ways. And if we don't want to self-sabotage our way through success, then we have to continue to, like, you know, do that kind of work.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot that, like, there is no MBA or there's no, like, college degree that you get in being a 6, 7, 8, 9 plus figure business owner. And so, like, I remind myself all the time that most of the CEOs that we look up to, like, they were beginners. And not that there wasn't, to your point, strategy and a lot of hard work done to get it to where it is, but most of the people who are running a team have no experience doing it. And so, like, especially if they didn't necessarily come through a path like yours, where you get to do it on a corporate level, or you got to be role modeled by other people, like a lot of these who start as entrepreneurs, they just never had that opportunity. So I loved you at the beginning of our conversation. You said you really help the CEOs and the leaders that you work with look at their season of life, their season of business, right? So you mentioned you're in a different season of business and season of life as a mom. I know also you, like, obviously are a goal setter. You said, I've got this goal for podcast interviews. So when you're looking ahead to 2024, what's the next season of life, business, goal for you personally?
That's a great question. I think right now my main focus is almost like rebuilding the business that I've built over the last almost 5 years in a way that better fits my current lifestyle. You know, just to kind of give you a glimpse, you know, at, let's say, late 2021, early 2022, I was running a really successful group coaching program called Grindaholics Anonymous. We had over 100 people go through it. I was doing VIP days. I was flying to, you know, see my clients. I was gone a lot. I was on calls a lot, and it worked, and we made tons of money, and I had great employees, and everything was perfect, right? But now I really want to be with my son all the time, and I want to be with my husband, and I don't want to sacrifice my business's potential in order to do that. So I'm just kind of playing a different game. And so really focusing on the B2B route, realizing that I started in corporate and I've served so many small business owners. And now there's a lot of things that corporations could really benefit from learning about small business. And so working with corporations to help them really empower their employees to kind of become the CEO of their own role, empowering first-time people leaders in those, like, middle management spots where they often don't get a lot of development. And so that's been a big focus of mine. And then just working more intimately one-on-one with clients, you know, in the B2C space. And then additionally, you know, we've turned Grindaholics Anonymous into a digital product library where business owners can kind of come and get what they need, those specific things. So yeah, like, just really simplifying without sacrificing revenue, I think, is the name of the game for me right now. And having a lot of fun along the way, like, being creative again. I definitely started to lose my creativity in the midst of growing, because I was so focused on building up my team and developing my team that I kind of started to neglect the parts of the business that I always loved. And so it's been really fun, you know, tapping back into that as well.
Oh, I love that so much. And you know what I love too about, like, your energy around, like, what's ahead and what the possibilities are. I find sometimes when I'll ask someone that question, they almost come at it from, like, a defensive stance. Like, well, I was this, and, like, then the algorithm, then the this. And, you know, it's like, No, mm-hmm. you get to say like what served me then doesn't necessarily serve me now. And also like, yeah. Thank you for all of these things that happened because it allowed me to step back and find yeah. the next thing. And like your whole, the whole way that you framed it too, wasn't like it was this and now it's this. It's just like, this is the next step in an evolution. And I think I really try to discipline myself to do this too, because it's not second nature. I have to do so much inner work all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm all operations. Like I'm all type A, all Enneagram mm-hmm. one, all like generator 5-1 energy and human design. So like really disciplining myself to appreciate that what was, and even if it stopped it, out of my control or something mm-hmm. changed, like really looking ahead in such a positive, like the way you talk about it is so magnetic. And I'm like, ooh, yes, let's go. Like I'm on board with whatever she's doing. And I just hope that people who are listening, like allow themselves to do that too, mm-hmm. even if it's a rebuild or a pivot. So I'm just really appreciative in the way that you role model mm-hmm. the way that people can do this in their own lives.
I really appreciate you saying that. And that's probably like my first time realizing that I'm in this place now, because I did spend a really good portion of last year just kind of feeling defeated and feeling like, you know, I've had my baby, I'm enjoying that, but I can't quite figure out this balance of how do I enjoy my home life but still, you know, have a thriving business. And I spent so much time comparing myself to where I used to be and always saying, well, if I ever can get back to where I was, or maybe I can do this to get back to where I was. And I think along the line, I just had this realization that like, I probably won't get back there because I'm a different person. My life has changed. I've evolved. I've grown. My desires are different too, you know? And so now it's not about getting back to where I was. It's about like kind of going to where I'm going to be, you know, like going to my next chapter. And so instead of looking at this previous chapter as like the end goal and like where I should have stayed, it's just like a point on the journey now, yeah. you know, and I can, like you said, like take those lessons that I learned to help, you know, support me in the future. But we just keep moving forward motion.
Exactly. Well, and as somebody, so my kids are 11 and 8. And so believe me, I'm still figuring this out every single day, and there are new mm-hmm. challenges and new things that come up. But what I could tell, if I could be your crystal ball a little bit, is that like staying in that energy of just like, I'm exactly where I need to be. I am doing what I need to do. I'm really mm-hmm. like giving myself and my family and my community the right energy and mindset. It pays off so much. I mean, I was yeah. joking about my 8-year-old and my 11-year-old, but when I stay in that energy, I see them doing the same thing. When I get anxious and like, oh, it's this and it, or like I try yeah. to spend, you know, the work-life balance, in my experience, it's never actually a 50-50 balance. It's just like, where am I putting my energy? And like you, I think many parents who are listening to this are like, sometimes my energy has to be at 80%, or gets to be at 80% for my family, and my business is not my priority. But I just really have to remind myself they're always watching, and whether it's our kids, our community, like it can expand to anything. But I really just try to hold myself in that energy for exactly what you're talking about, because they're mm-hmm. going to watch and they're going to learn yeah. and they're going to be in therapy themselves someday. And like, I'm going to give them plenty of reasons to to talk to their therapist, but like me putting the business over them is not going to mm-hmm. be one of them. So
yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well, this has been such a magical conversation. I fell in love with you before I even got to talk with you one-on-one. Somehow I'm even deeper in love with you. So
the feeling is mutual.
Check the box. And I will just say, like, what you've really reminded and inspired. In fact, I'm going to go do it like literally right now. I'm going to go raise my hand and tell my audience and the universe, like what I need, because again, it's such a good reminder that you don't get what you don't ask for. And people yeah. get so excited to help you with your goals. You just have to like actually tell them what you're trying to do. They can't read your mind. So I'm going to go share some big goals on social media. It's been such a pleasure talking with you, and I can't wait to see what you have ahead for 2024 and beyond.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you just having me, and our conversation was really good. This is also just such a different conversation than the ones that I usually get to have. And it's been really good. So can't wait to hear it.
Okay. I told you at the beginning of the episode that was going to be good, right? I think that was, I don't even know, 10 out of 10, 15 out of 10. And for somebody who was basically a stranger to me before we started our conversation, for me to immediately feel this kinship and this friendship and this energy, like that's what communities and collaborations are for, you guys. That's why I like doing this show. And that's why I hope you continue to listen and subscribe and share this, because there are so many people like Tatiana, like myself, like the dozens of guests that have been on Hard Costs this season alone, who are rooted in service, who are rooted in leadership, who have a great story to tell, who are having meaningful impact in our community and in the marketplace, and are also just really cool people who are willing to share the challenges that have come up, the things that they have faced that were unexpected, that were frankly very hard. Right? Hard costs come not just in financial expenses, but in things that we have to cope with our energy, with our time, with disappointments, with defeats. And all of that continues to come up on these interviews. And I'm just so honored and delighted to continue to share them with you. So thank you again for listening. And I will see you on the next episode of Hard Costs.
Thank you for listening to this episode. My hope is that through someone else's journey, you're able to find what you need to keep going. Because a rising tide lifts all boats. Doing business is hard, but none of us has to navigate it alone. So make sure you share this with a friend or a colleague who needs to hear this message. And I would love for you to write a review so we can keep getting these incredible founder stories to as many people as possible. If you liked this episode and want to learn more about my services or would like to book me as a speaker for your next event, head to katiewidrick.com. I'll see you on the next episode of Hard Costs.